The final round of the Restore Your Fertility Group program is opening December 4. Get on top of it, ladies. Let's start thinking about the new year. Let's start putting ourselves first. Let's start thinking about what we really, really want. Stop with the fear. Make the decision. You want to recover. If you feel like you're beating around the bush, if you feel like you're avoiding, if you're in quasi-recovery, if you're just missing important advice and guidance and you just don't have the answers and you need help, that's what we do. Our last round of the Restore program just finished up about 2 weeks ago. 100% success rate. Everybody got their goal. Everybody reached their goal. I'm so proud of that. This group is just getting better and better. So you're 100% going to want to join. I just know it in my gut that this is the year for you. So you're just not going to want to sleep on it. You don't want to get to the end of 2025 and be like, oh my gosh, I should have just done the thing and taken the advice and gotten the help. Let's just bite the bullet. Let's get the work done. Let's go through all of the facts. Let's come up with a plan specific to you. And let's meet every week for 10 weeks until you get the job done. That's our goal with you. Head to thehasociety.com/restore-live. That's thehasociety.com/restore-live. And apply for the program and you and I can chat and figure out if this is a good move for you, if it's the right place for you, and move forward if getting your period back and getting pregnant by the end of 2025 is your goal.
Your time and expertise are valuable, making Focus one of the most important resources to have at work. These days, professionals spend nearly half the work week on written communication, and it can be difficult to stay on task with all the emails and documents you have to get through. With Grammarly as your AI writing partner, you can stay focused and quickly get through your work with relevant real-time suggestions wherever you write. It works across 500,000 apps and websites, so it can help with everything, from brainstorming presentation ideas to sounding more confident and persuasive in emails and reports. For 15 years, Grammarly has offered best-in-class communication support and enterprise-grade security on a business model that doesn't sell your data. 93% of professionals report that Grammarly helps them get more work done. Download Grammarly for free at grammarly.com/podcast. That's grammarly.com/podcast.
Welcome to the Hypothalamic Amenorrhea Podcast. I'm Dani Sheriff, your host, certified fertility awareness practitioner, functional nutrition counselor, and founder of the HA Society, and of course, an HA recovery coach who has walked where you currently are walking. This is the place to come if you care about getting your period regularly. This podcast aims to educate, inform, and keep you motivated on your period and HA recovery track. So let's dive in. But last thing, nothing on the show should be taken as medical advice, so please seek the advice of your physician.
Okay, guys, so welcome back to the Hypothalamic Amenorrhea Podcast. I am just realizing on the podcast I did this morning with Megan, I think I forgot to introduce like the name of our podcast. Who does that, y'all?
You know, I think you've been listening to the podcast long enough, you know what you're in for, and I think we have some of those intros too.
Oh yeah. Thank goodness. Okay. Well, after that just hit my brain, like, you didn't say that this morning. Anyways, so Mishi and I actually have a great topic. It may need to be a part two, girl, because I got school pickup in 35 minutes. So I don't know if we're gonna get it. So there's probably gonna be a part two, but we just at least wanted to start the conversation on. I know this is something that's like that Mishi's been working through. I think this is something that like I have been working through. I think all of it. So I'm like, I bet you we all work through this to some degree. And so I'm just going to like throw the topic out there, Mishi, and wherever you want to start, just you push, like you just start to unravel anything and everything. But right. How has the topic of like beauty changed since going through HA recovery? And the only reason why I actually think that this is something important to talk about is because I think that there's this place in recovery when like we are all challenging you, hey, don't lead with your body, right? Like that's how we got into this place, is being like, I'm leading through life with my body. And HA recovery is really this time where you're like not leading with your body. And so you're having to get comfortable with like who you are. If like your body composition isn't your identity, if the fit girl isn't your identity. Yeah. And so the unraveling of that, I think in general is a very interesting unraveling. And just to kind of give you guys the cliff notes part, we don't have an answer. So this is just a rambling. So welcome to our ramble. Mishi, yeah. Take it away.
Yeah, I was about to say, I certainly don't have it figured out by any means, but I'm committed to the journey. I think this is such a good topic for me because like you said, so many of us get into this because we were leading with my body. And my whole journey, what led me to HA in essence, was because I led with my body. Like everything revolved around being the prettiest, and obviously in that umbrella category of beautiful and being the prettiest then also falls within that. I just, part of like me being able to get control of my life was changing how I looked, because I was like, I felt like I grew up like, I don't even know how to say it the best way. We'll just say underserved. And so I was like, I can't change my situation.
I was broke. I was downright broke. Okay. Your girl lived next to a bar and a palm reader with hookers out front. Like I did. Like I did.
You know what is so funny is I also grew up in like an ice house. They have those in Texas. Is that what they're still called? Where you can like bring in your own alcohol and things of that nature?
Oh, I have no idea.
So yeah, so I also grew up in a bar. It was called an ice house in Texas. And anyways, but the older I get and the more I get settled into my story of like how this all started in the first place is just like, you know what? I still had a roof over my head. You know, we still had food on the table most days. And like it, when being around in other areas of the world, I'm like, I had it so good. But something in me made me think that that wasn't enough and I wasn't enough. And the only way to change that situation was to change how I looked. And that is kind of like what kind of just started everything. And where I started at on my journey with like beauty was like, I was hiding behind a mask. I was a very fake version of who I am today. You know, was getting the spray tans. I was getting my lashes done. I had extensions. I had like the name brand clothes. Like everything I did was like buying into this beauty standard. And so that's kind of like where I started. And then where I am now is like polar opposite of that. But I'm trying to find balance between the two sides of being like overly extreme and then kind of where I'm at now. Actually, I think I'm not like completely where I was before, but I'm finding a little bit more balance of just like when I went through the whole process, I was just like, I blamed everything on beauty. I was like, the reason why I got into this was vanity. The reason why I got into this was because of makeup, because of all of these things. And so I was like, I'm just going to stop wearing makeup and I'm going to take all of my extensions out. I'm going to take my lashes out. I'm not participating in this anymore because it's those things fall, which in some ways, yes, but it was my relationship to those things that needed to actually change. And truly underneath that was the relationship to myself that really needed to change. And so that's kind of like where that unraveling is now. I don't know if I really answered your question or kicked anything off. You're on mute.
There we go. Hold on. I think it's natural to go to the extreme, right? So think about this. Like, I also had extensions. I had, you know, I would sit there for the 2 hours as if I had time for 2 hour lashes. Stop it, y'all. I cannot believe, like, I'm pretty sure I was listening to some, like, book to further my life.
I would do the same thing when I would get my lashes done. I'd be like, hey, I just so you know, I have a podcast in. And it was also something that was like perpetuating the beliefs of whatever.
Yeah, I'm sure that I was listening to some hormone biohacking something.
100%.
You know what I mean? I was definitely trying to biohack something. So like I did have the extensions. I did get my lashes done. I was at the gym 6 to 7. And like, again, there's nothing wrong with this because your girl's got her extensions in. I've probably been the longest without my extensions this past summer just because it was just so flipping hot that I was like, I'm going to wear my hair up all the time anyways. I'm not getting extensions just to wear my hair up. I'm just like not going to do it. Mm-hmm. And I have lashes every now and then. Like today I have them. Can you see?
Yes.
Anyways.
Are they the magnetic ones?
No, I just refuse those ones. Those ones just looked fake. So if any of you guys are wondering about the $7 magnetic ones or whatever, they're not good. Your girls tried it and I can't return them.
Yeah.
Which is fine. But I'm not happy with them. Anyways. But I also went through a really long season and like I ebb and flow out of the season as well too. So I think that's the other thing with beauty is like, I think like we always think it's like a standard, like beauty standard, which means that you never like deter from it. Like you never move away from it. This is the standard and you must be here and you must stay here. And that's where I feel smothered. And I feel that's the same way with what I'm about to get into of like when I went the other way and like, I'm very comfortable not wearing makeup. It's a 50-50 chance you're going to see Ashley with makeup or without makeup. And the crazy thing is, I don't even care if you just saw me yesterday in full eyelashes. You're probably going to catch me today with no eyelashes. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? So it's like, but you know, like, I feel like sometimes there's this pressure to not partake in anything beauty whatsoever, that becomes the new beauty standard is that you don't partake in anything, but you could brush your hair, but that's about it. Maybe. You know what I mean? And so I feel like it's always like the standard that like the ultra feminists are like, I don't engage in beauty standards. And so that means I can't do anything, even if I kind of secretly like it for myself. You know what I mean? And then that's where I start to feel trapped. And I'm like, no, I want to ebb and flow. So if your girl's coming at you with extensions today, she may not have them tomorrow. And we're going to keep it moving. We're going to keep it moving. And I realize how unhinged that is, but I don't care. You know what I mean?
Yeah. I had a similar experience too of like where that, like, that's such a good point that you brought up about how like going to that far, you know, other side and that also feeling like super smothering and there also being a standard to uphold on that other side. So I did that with beauty and I also did that with the whole like feminine movement, right? Of just being like, you know, surrender and softness and do nothing to stress yourself out, which also flows into the trad housewife movement, like the traditional housewife. Like if we should all just be at home housewives and not going to work. That is the only way that you can have like optimal hormone health.
Well, yeah, or that saying that like you have to have a homestead.
Yes.
Like, fully off grid. You have to have a homestead. You have to have cows. You have to be like milking your goats, gathering your like eggs. And here's the ironic thing. Your girl would 100% live on a homestead. Like I would turn it into a business. I'd be like, you want to take some pictures with my hireling cows? You know what I mean? Like I'm turning it. Oh, and you could shop at my like organic egg place. And if you want some goat's milk, I'll sell it to you too. So like, I'm never not going to be a businesswoman. Like I'm always 100% going to be like, so how do we turn this into a business? But, you know, it's so interesting. Like, I feel myself, like, I love that you brought that up because I feel myself ebb and flow between that as well, too, where I'm just like, I can feel my body asking for space. It's probably generally from my calendar, now that I consider how packed my calendar is. But then I am like, I just want to be able to walk to a coffee shop. You cannot have a homestead and walk to a coffee shop. like trust me, like location wise, I've been trying to find this reality and it doesn't exist.
It just so doesn't exist.
I think it's one of those things. I think it's an ebb and flow thing, not saying that one thing is worse than the other, but again, to sit here and say that the only way to have hormonal health is to live on a homestead is crazy. That's not true. And at the same time, I get exactly what they're talking about. I get the like walking barefoot in your grass, being in like, you know, with the sun in your eyes, eating eggs where you actually know where they come from and they're different sizes and they're different colors. You actually know what your animals eat. Like, I mean, right now, if I could sit out here, I mean, I have two dogs and a cat and a toddler. So I have an urban farm, not a real farm, but I have an urban farm that I'm working on. If I could go out there and like pet my cow, I'd be like instant euphoria all over my brain right now. So you're like, I get what they're saying, but to say that this is the only way, just like saying that, like the only way is having a 9-to-5 job where you're working for somebody else. And like, you have like no PTO and no flexibility. I would die too. So I feel like it's just like balance. I don't know. Is that a crazy thing?
Yeah, no, it's just balance. And I think when you're just so used to going to extremes, you forget to look at the nuance. And I think certainly at that point in my journey, I was still in such a survival state and such in the black and white thinking that I couldn't even see that gray area in between, that there was balance that existed between two sides of, you know, the beauty standard, two sides of like softer living or living in femininity. Like within femininity, you still need to have masculinity. You can't just
absolutely
one or the other. So, but kind of like you were saying earlier, like there, for me personally, there was a benefit for me to swinging to the far other side. Like
absolutely. I feel like everyone should probably spend some time there. I mean, because think about as kids, we spend time there. As kids, we spend time breathing deeply and not sucking in our stomach. You know what I mean? We spend time with no makeup on our face. And you know, like we spend time with just our hair. You know what I mean? Like we spend time not plucking our eyebrows or putting on makeup, which having a child, like having a girl is super confronting, right? And it's even more important for her to see me with and without makeup, and that my attitude and my self-esteem and my confidence does not wane on whether mommy has makeup on or not, or you know what I mean? Like, I mean, it, not that I ever would, I'm just, her presence makes me hyper aware of it. And even she'll be like, oh, mommy, your hair, it changed. Like when I came home with my, she said, it changed. It's so beautiful. And then I saw her look at her hair and I said, oh, and my heart, I just cut out all my extensions. And I said, baby, and your hair is so beautiful. She says, yeah, it is. And she just, I about made her issue, like my issue, her issue, but but she's going to be four. And so she notices like when my hair changes, like even if I just colored my hair, she's going to know. And she notices and she tells me, you know what I mean? So let's try to get through our first conversation, but kids or having a girl in general is just, I mean, I love it because it just keeps me honest. It keeps me honest. And I think it like keeps me away from like ever slipping back into like, this is the way I have to look. You know what I mean? Because like, what are you gonna tell a 3-year-old? You need extensions. You need to color your hair. You need makeup. But then the answer isn't like shunning or banning that either. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think you kind of nailed it on the head when you were like, the difference is like, I don't change how I carry myself in the world based on, you know, if I have extensions in or if I don't, or if I'm wearing makeup or if I don't. I still am the confident, bright light that I am to her, regardless of what I look like. And I think for me growing up, and you might have a similar situation of like, my mom was always on a diet and she was always so insecure about the way that she looked. And so when she, you know, hit her quote unquote, you know, ideal weight, she was getting compliments from people. She was on top of the world. She felt really great. And when she wasn't, she didn't feel great. So it taught me that, oh, in order to be loved and valued and respected, I need to, you know, always be chasing, you know, the ideal weight or the beauty standard. So I think that there's the difference right there. It's like these external factors I can participate in, but it does not define who I am or my happiness. And it's just, that's not something I learned. And I'm happy I went through HA because it taught me to, you know, validate myself without the need of the external kind of thing. And if that would have never happened, I would still be out there like chasing like whatever beauty standard is currently out there.
I don't even know if we would be friends.
No, we would be in we would full on be in competition with each other.
Yeah, like we wouldn't actually be able to have friends. Okay, so just to kind of not like wrap this up, I mean, that's where, I mean, I kind of shared about it. Where do you feel like you are exploring balance or finding balance on this side of recovery? Because you also, because Mishi be doing everything extreme, y'all.
I do.
She's so extreme.
But I'm finding the balance. I'm checking out both sides, right?
Yes. And yes. Yes.
And then I realize I'm like, okay, that actually didn't work for me. That didn't align with me, but this does.
Okay. So like you had your Mowgli phase. Just remind the people what your Mowgli phase was.
Oh, my
God. Just so that people can understand like when like you say balance now, like where you're coming from. Because I know what you're talking about.
Oh man, geez, how deep do I go into this without feeling super vulnerable? I mean
that's the name of the game.
I mean, okay, everybody knows that you start to smell really bad through recovery. Like it just is what it is, right?
Yeah, yeah.
But I'm just on this like no wearing deodorant type thing. And, you know, I just smelled really bad. I wasn't like showering as regularly as I needed to. Like I mean, that kind of just sums it up. No deodorant, no hygiene. I mean, I was brushing my teeth, thankfully. But I mean, that's when I also started free bleeding and things of that nature. And I just literally did not participate in any sort of beauty standard. I didn't wear any makeup. I don't think I wore makeup for like 2 years, maybe. And I certainly wasn't dressing my body at all. I was just like living in whatever, baggy shirts and sweatpants. So, I mean, that's kind of how far right or left, whatever.
I mean, like to the point where you're like in the same sweats with holes in it. You're like, this is what I'm wearing and I'm not changing anything.
Yeah. Yeah. My poor husband. I really don't know how he just like went through that whole thing with me. Blessed day. But honestly, I just feel like I, in my mind at the time, I had to strip everything away to really find out who I was. And then to come out to the other side, what I realized is that like the way I thought about myself or the way that I saw myself was through the lens of everything that had shaped and conditioned me. So the media, the TV that I watched, the magazines that I looked at, like all of the things. And I had this like avatar of what my body or ideal vision of what I should look like in my head. And I was trying to live up to that. And so stripping all of those things away helped me get comfortable with who I was without those things and helped me get more familiar with how I actually looked. And so it's kind of like whenever you like are on your phone and you turn your camera on and it's like flipped and it's on you and you're just like, oh my God, that's what I look like. That's me. Yeah. And that's kind of how I just always felt by my appearance. I was always shocked by my appearance because it didn't reflect what I thought I should look like. Like it was like, I don't know. It's just like delusional of like what I was supposed to look like. It was probably some blend of Britney Spears and Carmen Electra because I am from the 90s and early 2000s. So I thought that that's like what I should look like, but I'm 5 foot on the dot. I have an athletic build. There's no way my genetics would allow me to look that way. And so I just had to start getting really familiar with me. And now I learned how to self-validate myself. So as I step into and explore things like, you know, getting my hair done. Oh, that's the other thing I did is I stopped cutting my hair. Dave started cutting my hair. So now as I
visit, no beauty, nothing. She was just like, I am getting my hair cut by you hood rats.
Yeah. And so now as I'm coming back into things, I can do it from a place of discernment. So if I want to go get my hair done, if I want to get lashes, like we did lashes when we did our photo shoot, and I'm like, this makes such a difference and I feel so great and I love it, but it's not coming from a place of like changing my worth or my success or how much I feel like I'm accepted by other people, because I've learned to do that myself. Nothing can change that. The only thing all of these other things can do is just enhance how I experience life, you know?
Hey, hey, do you need hella ideas on what to even eat? Is what am I even supposed to eat a question on your mind? Curiosity, uncertainty, lack of clarity around what are actually meals that help you get your period back, right? What does it mean to eat nourishing meals? What does it mean to eat, quote, normal? All of these things are super common questions we get all the time. So our team has put together the best meal ideas guide for recovery that you have ever seen, if you ever even seen one. So head to thehasociety.com/meal ideas to download it. It's totally free, a little gift for you just to help end the confusion. I hope you guys enjoy it. That's thehasociety.com/meal guide, and enjoy the rest of the show.
You know what's really interesting is that most people who meet you in real life, so everybody who's come to like a retreat has always been like, Mishi, you're so elevated. Like, you're like, and this is Mishi without makeup. Like, her hair's been cut by her husband, which I mean, I think it's fine. You know what I mean? But she hasn't colored her hair. I mean, like, you know, like, but, and she's possibly maybe wearing deodorant for the group, you know what I mean? Peer pressure. I don't know. But that's about as much product as coming on Mishi. What everyone has always said is like, wow, you look so elevated. So my whole point is that like, you have emerged from the Mowgli stage into your own stage where without makeup, people have been like, wow, she just has a really elevated presence. You know what I mean? But what are some of the things that you have started to find balance in? Because one of the things that people will often say is, Mishi, your outfits are so put together, and they are put together. So it's so interesting that that's the Mishi I know, is this chick who has really great, and like after working with Samantha, I'm like, oh, like she knows what she's doing. Like she actually knows what she's doing. Like this isn't just, this accidentally looks good on her. Like she's actually very intentional. So going from your Mowgli sweats to actually even just dressing up and like going out to pickleball.
Mm-hmm.
It's two different, like, you know what I mean?
Honestly, I think Samantha did have a bit of an influence because like you guys were also working with her and just like, you know, hearing some of the things that she helped you guys with. A big thing that she said that just, it gave me the ultimate permission to step in into something I actually have like this just comes natural to me, which is dressing mm-hmm. for my body and having that elevated and elegant presence, was like, you can appreciate, like, if a style doesn't work for you, or how does she say it? Like, you can appreciate a style, but if it doesn't work uh-huh. for you, like, you don't need to make it mean anything about you. And then I was yeah. like, oh, Wait, and that just gave me so much permission to kind of step into, you know, who I've always been. But the other thing about it too was like, you know, I don't know, I just came to a realization that like the way that you're treating yourself, there's so much energy behind that. And so I was really big on how my mother, I do really, really love her and I have a lot of compassion, but the way that she treated herself really influenced me. And I was like, okay, but the way that I'm dressing my body right now is kind of in the same vein. Like, it, what is it saying about how I think about my body living in sweats? That's saying that I'm not, my body, my healing body is not deserving or good enough to, you know, look cute or dress in a certain way. Like my body, like, you know what I mean? That energy is just like,
yeah,
this is not helpful. And so I think I started coming in an awareness of that. And then I started like dressing for my body and lo and behold, it was a freaking game changer of like how I felt about myself energetically, of just being like, taking care of yourself. So I gave myself that permission to buy clothes that actually fit. I know how to dress for my body. I just need to buy clothes that actually fit my body versus trying to enforcing my body to be in sizes that don't work for me. Because of course that is a sure way to negative body image and making you feel like a turd.
Yeah. And Mishi has confessed before that she used to buy shoes that were way too small because she used to think that her feet looked bigger, which is so crazy because Mishi does not have big feet, y'all. Anyways, but I mean, I feel like that just sums up like your body doesn't need to be a certain way in order for you to wear cuts that look best on it. That's actually, that should actually just be a standard. That should just be a standard. For me, like I stopped wearing spaghetti scraps and guess what? I stopped feeling crappy about myself because it was never a good look for your girl anyways.
Oh my gosh. Like string bikinis. Oh, it's just never going to work for me. Never.
No, your girl does not. I mean, no. Anyways, but yeah. Okay. So think about like, so then like you started dressing for yourself. And just because you look cute doesn't mean that you're doing it for a beauty standard. You're like, no, this actually just genuinely, and you know what? That's the other thing too. I think people think because, and this is a thought, I think because beauty has been weaponized and been used to manipulate, we automatically think that there's something wrong with beauty and beauty is wrong. And I will not subscribe to that. That's like saying, you know what's beautiful? The Grand Canyon. It's wrong. You know what I mean? Like, no. Oh, the sunset, it's so beautiful. It's wrong. You know what I mean? Like, oh, you look at the way that the light's coming in on like these flowers or my desk or on my coffee. It's wrong. You know, like beauty itself is not wrong. How we've weaponized and maybe like told women it's the only power you hold.
100%.
You
I
know what
think
I mean? But
we've just been trained that we are objects and we have started to view our bodies through the lens of somebody else. And that somebody else is a heterosexual male. I mean, think about how conditioned, like even in movies and things that you watch, like we watch The Perfect Couple together. And that main influencer character, remember how like she's in the pool and she's running her hands through her hair, her mouth is open. She gets out of the pool and she's fixing her bikini line. Like the camera is zooming in on these parts of this woman. And that's how you learn to view yourself. You're like, oh, in order to be beautiful, I need to look like this. And so of course you feel like that and beauty then becomes weaponized. But like, again, another thing that we learned working with Samantha that was really eye-opening is like dressing for how you feel, not how you want others to perceive you. Don't dress for what you think everybody wants you to look like. Dress for how you want to feel. And it applies to all things beauty standards, is like show up for how you want to feel. And so once I started like also getting that concept, I was like, I want to feel good in my skin. Like I want to feel beautiful. Yeah. I want to feel elegant. I want to feel elevated. I want that quiet luxury feel. I want to feel like somebody.
And she nails it. She nails it.
And so it's just like, I think that has helped me come into my own and find balance without self-abandoning abandoning myself.
Oh, that's so good. Okay, so one of the other things I've noticed that you've kind of stepped into lately is earrings.
Yeah.
I love them on you right now. So tell me about that.
I just like bought these from TJ Maxx. I think they were like 10 bucks, probably even cheaper.
Love it.
And I literally have been wearing them every single day. I got a pack of like 6 of them and they have different sizes. And I don't know. I just feel like whenever I put them on, it's kind of like brings out that alter ego that like, and just elevates that look. And it makes me feel like I'm dressed up. I don't know. I just started doing it because it made me feel really good.
I love it. And so here's the thing, but like you also choose not to do your nails to wear like, you know, like I will, you know what I mean? Like, but again, catch me next week and I won't have my nails done.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
I think we
all
have,
tell me about that.
I think we just all have our, like, and it's okay for everyone to participate in different things. Like it doesn't make you like a worse person because like you paint your nails, and it makes me more like pure because I don't paint my nails. I just like, I really truly appreciate that natural look of my nails. Like kind of like the same thing with my hair, because I always used to dye my hair all the time. And I'm just like, I really
what color did you dye it?
Oh my gosh. It was like black. I was trying to be a Kardashian.
Oh my God. Look here. She like told me this about her, but I didn't believe it until now.
Yes. I had like the books. I watched all the series on the Kardashians. I was like, you know, I was going to grow up one day and be a Kardashian. So yeah, now you can see how polar opposite I've gone.
Yes.
Both sides.
Anybody, I think anybody who has met you in real life. So we'll have to send this to all the retreat ladies. Be like, look, the inside of Michi. Okay. What about makeup? Where do you kind of stand on makeup right now?
Where do I stand on makeup right now? That's a good one. Cause I feel like that's something I'm still learning and shifting into. And I'm still figuring out, like, before I was like totally anti it, but now I'm like, I'm not. And I'm like, if there's a day where I feel like putting on makeup, just because, like, if I'm like not going out or things of that nature, and I'm just like, I don't know, working from home that day, and I put makeup on, I'll do that. Which before, I wouldn't even put makeup on to go to an event like a wedding or anything of that nature. Or like even if I was sitting at home, I wouldn't put makeup on either. But now, some days when I'm just like feeling it, I'm just like, you know what, this would be fun, I'm gonna do it. So I don't know if that answers your question. That's something.
No, I think I love it. Cause you know what? I think the other thing too is that like, you're like, I will ebb and flow, as in like one day you'll see my eyebrows on done really nice. Next day it's going to be super raw. You know what I mean?
Right.
But I guess again, to my point is that if I feel trapped, like I have to, I think that's just a really big thing for me. If I feel like I have to show up in this way. And so we were really blessed, Danny and I, at our first company, are the founder and CEO. I don't know. She ran the thing too. She bound it and ran. This girl never wore makeup ever. And so for me, coming from corporate, like, you know, corporate life kind of, I mean, I was a teacher, right? To see someone conduct a business, own a business and run a business and never get on without makeup. I mean, she never had makeup on. It was really liberating. I was like, yeah, you can run a company and I don't have to show up with makeup on. You know what I mean? And so like, that was really powerful for me to see, only because my whole experience had either been corporate, you know, like in between jobs, or teaching, where it was like women are expected to show up with that on, right? And so for me, being able to see a different side, and then now us running our own company is like, so for the first 2 years, I think like, well, like Danny doesn't really wear makeup and that's just never her vibe. Like I think I've maybe seen it on her 2 times.
Yeah, I think even at the shoot, she was like, I just put a little something on, like nothing.
Yeah, she was like, I did something. You know what I mean? Which like I love about her, right? And so that was kind of our brand for the first 2 years, was just like really barefaced. Like, I mean, to the point where like I never, I mean, still even now, like, I won't ever use a filter on Instagram. And I mean, I hold pretty true to that just because I'm just like, something about that, I'm just like, I feel like that's going too far. Like, no, like, this is my face. Like, this is my face. You know what I mean?
And yeah.
But again, some people can be like, well, that's the same about makeup. Okay, well, each their own. I'm just telling you my line. My line is the filter. Like, I just, I don't know. It makes me feel weird about it. Like, I can't do it. But I think it's having the flexibility of, like, and again, if you guys ever talk about signing up or wanting to do coaching, like, you're going to chat with me. And there's this whole pull too of, like, do I have to look a certain way? And before, I was so against it that I was just like, I'm showing up with no makeup. So if they want to buy from me, they can buy from me. You know what I mean? Because I'm just like, you know, that type of thing. And now I'm just like, you know, I should probably brush my hair. You know what I mean? So like, it's not, but like, again, I think as long as I'm consistently wielding my own flexibility, and it's not that I am subjected to beauty in a certain way, then like, I feel comfortable. So I feel like for me, because that's so ambiguous, I think that's why it moves.
Yeah, but you know, when you're in that black and white thinking, that survival state, you don't like ambiguity. Or did I say that right? You know what I mean? You don't like you need the certainty. You need somebody to give you like a map or a playbook, a how-to, step-by-step. Like, living in the gray area makes a lot of us uncomfortable, but that really truly is how it is, to be able to ebb and flow and different seasons for different reasons. And I think that's kind of like a full circle thing to touch on, is like, nothing kind of really lasts forever. So we're going to be like ebbing and flowing and evolving for forever. And I don't know, catch us in like 6 months and we might be like having a completely different conversation with where we're at on beauty. And we might be like full face, like makeup and power suits all day, every day.
Maybe, you know, but you know, like, also just to kind of throw this in, because I do love them. Azara. That's how you say their name, right? Like, they're like lip gloss.
Oh, Araza.
Did you say Araza? I say Azara. But Ashley's been known to be like wildly really wrong, but then shockingly right.
You and I are the same. So asking the two of us to pronounce something.
Okay, you guys are just going to check the show notes, because one of the big things too, and this one goes really deep for me, and then I have to jump off, is because I first threw away all my makeup when I was first trying to recover, because I simply thought that this was just, you know, all these hormones, all these toxins, this is why I don't have my period. And so I remember this day, I really wish I could have, like, well, first off, I was probably so traumatized by my own recovery in general. But my estrogen was 5. Let's be real. Your girl was already traumatized. I already traumatized myself by having an estrogen level of 5. Okay. There was no ease in my life. Anyways. And I went into the bathroom and I took a bag and I filled it up with all the products that had like toxic chemicals in it. And I remember my husband looking at me, because like, what is in that bag? Like, what in our house did you have enough to fill up a bag and walk out of the house, you're like dragging it? I was like, this is all the toxic chemicals that's keeping my period away, said the girl with level 5 estrogen. Okay. And then, so I took a really big break from any makeup, and I feel like I couldn't trust anybody. So then that only kind of fueled my like staying away from makeup, which is fine. As I mentioned, like, I think it's good to take a break. You know what I mean? But then whenever I started reemerging, like, okay, I do want to start wearing makeup, I was just like lightly exhausted from my own journey. And then I was just like, is there any brands that I can trust? And right? Kind of like the tampon thing, right? Like,
that's a whole nother
period back.
Yeah, that's a whole nother exhausting rabbit hole.
Yeah, we'll have to do like part 2 of Mishi's finding balance with products in general.
Wow, geez.
But just because this one's like related to beauty. So It's actually been really nice to know that there are brands out there that I can have beauty without going completely back to where I was with super toxic products. And again, I feel like that's finding balance. And then I think that like there was like this thought that like healthy products would be subpar. And I've actually found that it's not. So my favorite lip gloss. It's like this nude pink. Hey, girls, this is my vibe. I would have, so the reason why I love it so much is I would have picked this color out on my own had it just been like my old toxic makeup. So the fact that like they make this color, I'm like, yes. I don't know. It's just this little redeeming balance of lip gloss of like, I can wear lip gloss because I not because I'm trying to seduce a man or get in the front of the line.
Yeah, it's a pretty good one. I feel like we had like really similar like experiences of where like we both just like tossed out all the makeup. Like yours was more of a reason for like, you know, all the toxins are what caused my HA. And for me, it was like I threw out all of the makeup because like vanity did this. It's vanity's fault of why I, you know, went down the rabbit hole of trying to lose weight and be super pretty and lost my period.
Absolutely. And you like, honestly, like, I don't know. It could be a rabbit hole. It really can be a rabbit hole. I'm trying to find my favorite lip gloss, y'all. I can't keep. Oh, it's right here. Hello.
Yeah, I gave you mine. So you have two.
Yes. And what is their whole thing that is like paleo certified? I don't know. It's like a coconut. Guys, I'm just telling you. This is like my favorite. Look at this color.
Honestly, I can't remember all the things that make it paleo certified, but it's like the whole thing is like if looks could heal. So they're not using like any synthetics or, you know, toxins in it. And it's all stuff that should be, you know, enhancing your beauty as well as protecting your beauty.
Yes. I mean, don't get us. I mean, we're going to have to save the next one for like the tallow conversation, but
yeah,
that's all I have, y'all, because I have to go pick up my little one. But in my balance of like finding balance, like makeup has been one of them. And so it's just nice to have something that's like, you have to go all the way back. You know what I mean? I don't know.
Yeah.
I love it.
And it's good to just have flexibility now.
You know? Totally. Okay, beautiful people. Well, if you enjoy this rant and want us to rant about anything else, hit us up in the DMs and be like, we need a rant on cleaning products. I'm sure Mishi could go down that rant or anything like that.
Oh my gosh. Yeah, because that was another one that I went down and I feel like I've also found balance with too, because I'm like, I don't need to be a purist to like,
I know.
Sometimes
being
like
a purist is just another form of being trapped. Okay.
Yep.
I really got it right.
Okay. All right.
Love y'all. Okay. Bye.
Bye.
Hey there. It's me, Danny, and I want to tell you about Temp Drop as a fertility awareness method tracking option. So many of you guys know that we actually recommend the fertility awareness method both as you're going through recovery and 100% after you have gotten some cycles back and you're starting to move forward for the rest of your reproductive years. So Temp Drop itself is a wearable fertility monitor and we love it. It's a wearable device, so you put it around your arm and you can use that instead of taking your temperature manually with a thermometer each morning. So I'm personally a big fan of the manual tracking. All of us at the HA Society are, and that's the method that we use, you know, just using a good old thermometer. We use that with our clients because it's the best way to use it as a diagnostic tool, as a practitioner. And it's also the best way to ensure if you're trying to avoid pregnancy that you don't get pregnant. However, manual temping for many reasons is just not always an option. When you're in the middle of recovery, again, we do recommend manual temping, but once you're cycling, the Temp Drop is actually a really great hack. So it gives you basically everything you need to effortlessly track your fertility status, like where you are in your monthly cycle. So you wear the Temp Drop sensor while you're sleeping for accurate basal body temperature readings without the stress of early morning wake-ups. So I personally love this because with a toddler,
My wake up times are all over the place, and the occasional sleep disruptions make using an oral thermometer a lot more difficult. So TempDrop's accompanying charting app enables you to track an array of symptoms alongside your basal body temperature. This includes tracking your cervical mucus if you've been using OPKs, and then it also gives you sleep insights too. So you can combine these fertility signs all in one place, and that will help you identify your fertile window, confirm ovulation, plan for your period, and if you're trying to get pregnant, you know, identify whether or not you are pregnant. So whether you're trying to conceive or avoiding pregnancy, or you want to chart for health reasons like HA recovery, making sure your cycle's not slipping back in the HA direction, TempDrop makes fertility awareness accessible to all women, even if you don't have regular cycles or sleeping patterns. So track your ovulation in real time with the TempDrop, and we are lucky enough to have a 15% off code. So if you go to their website, they're usually having a sale, but you can stack this code on top of the existing code. So just go to tempdrop.thehasociety.com and use the code AFHASociety. I think too, if you just go to tempdrop.com and use AFHASociety at the checkout, that will work too. So happy temping and good luck.
This episode is brought to you by Grassland Nutrition Beef Liver Capsules. Did you know that in terms of nutrient density, beef liver actually blows vegetables and fruits out of the water? If you're a client of mine, you have already been instructed to eat beef liver either fresh or in capsule form. I recommend it for anyone and everyone who is, of course, dealing with amenorrhea and fertility challenges out there, but I may even recommend it for just everyone in general. Get your husbands on it, get your partners on it. If you have a history of HA and add on top of that maybe a history of the pill, maybe you've been pregnant before, you know, through treatments or other, like you've just, your body's been through anything, you know, you're absolutely 100% dealing with a nutrient deficiency of some kind. And while it's true that testing is going to be the best way to understand those exact deficiencies, eating nutrient-dense, real food is going to be one of the most important next steps that you take with or without testing. So I've been using and recommending Grassland Nutrition Beef Liver Capsules for years now, and the capsule form makes it so easy to get your liver in every day, and I appreciate the transparency of this product in particular above others. So in case you're wondering, it's completely natural. This is freeze-dried beef liver in capsules. It's organic, it's made from Australian beef, and my favorite of their products is the liver with kelp because of the iodine from the kelp, which is important for overall thyroid function, which is often low in women with underperforming hormones. So rather than eat seaweed snacks every day, I get to take this beef liver with the kelp for my iodine. So if you're recovering or working on a fertility journey right now, do not skimp the nutrient-rich source of beef liver. Get 10% off your order with the HA Society and support your favorite podcast along the way. They ship to most countries, so you should be covered. Just go to grasslandnutrition.net and use HA Society, just HA Society, at the checkout for the 10% off. That's grasslandnutrition.net with the code HA Society.
Thank you so much for listening today, guys. Please subscribe to the podcast, and if you could head to iTunes specifically and leave a rating or review, that would help so much because it makes it easier for other people with HA who are Googling around to find the podcast really easily. So if you do that, you're doing a service to all of the women.
New year, same great savings. All in the Kroger app.
Get Kroger Spiral Sliced Ham for 89 cents a pound with your card and an additional $25 purchase limit too. Then get large avocados or mangoes for 99 cents each with your card and a digital coupon.
Shop these deals at your local Kroger, less than 5 miles away. Or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone.
Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.